It's interesting, but in the Torah, you know, the Parsha Miketz. In the Torah is written Kolashim Bnei Adam. But if you look carefully at the way the Torah is written, you can construct underneath. You see, underneath you could see unbelievable concepts and what happened, events even that took place, situations. You get a totally different understanding. You have to look a little bit beneath the surface. You have to read between the lines. I think that the Parshas Miketz is something here. I think it lends itself to this process. And you have like this. You have this. You have the Torah very expresses things very cautiously. The mode of expression many times is a giveaway for something, some important idea. And you see that the when Paro told Yosef his dreams. So he was very troubled with the dreams, so we found that there's this narrative every in the bar, took him out, dressed him up, brought him before Paro, and he told him over the dreams, and he liked the explanation, didn't bother, accepted. See? So he got very excited about the fact that the dream wasn't terrible. Well, you can understand that he was very excited about it, bothered him, and then it didn't bother him anymore. After Yosef explained to him, showed him exactly every part of the dream, how it fits in, and why it fits in, and I'm sure there was a lot more factors in the dream than the Torah tells us. The Torah just tells us basic ideas. I'm sure there were other things that he showed him precisely why this has to be the interpretation. And he was convinced and he was very happy. Okay, fine. Now what was Paro's reaction? Paro's reaction was, Vayitav adav v'beinei far v'einei kol avodav. That was in Parshas Miketz. Vayomer Paro al avodav hanimtza kazeh. Ish asher ruach alekim bo. Right before Shlishi, Memal Flamaches. You find Animtza Kazeh, is there to be found such a one, a man who has the Spirit of God in him? Now, what is remarkable about that reaction of Paro? From this reaction, what do you notice from this reaction? Now, what did Paro? What, you know, ordinarily, what should Paro's reaction have been? But in what ways, precisely? What he's doing is, he isn't just saying. Paro should have said that Yosef was the best one of the Chatumim, the best magician I ever saw in my life. Best! You see? But Paro, if you look at the Lashon, he didn't say he's the best. He said he's totally different. Hanimtza kazeh, isha sheruach alakimbo. This is not just one of the Chatumim, a better, superior type of Chatum, whatever you call them, singular. At any rate, so this isn't a superior type of magician over here, but this is a different quality altogether. That's what the Pasuk says, really. Hanimtza kazeh, isha sheruach alakimbo. Means this is a qualitatively differentiated human being. Now, why, what warranted Paro to look at Yosef as a qualitatively differentiated human being? I mean, he's a man who is a superstitious person, and he has his magicians, they explain the dreams, and all of a sudden, see, they're stumped. So the experts are stumped, and you bring in a new expert, and he solves it. So what? So he's a better, he's in the same class. The better one. What is this reaction, totally new phenomenon of power? So here, what do you see that's so totally new? See? Okay. And he went so far as to appoint him Atati al Basi al Picha Yisha Kolami Raka Kise Egdom Mecca. So something must have happened. Alright?
Yeah.
And I still gotta say, if you look through the Psukim carefully, you'll be able to see, and I'll bring you proofs, that what happened here was there's something happened beneath the surface here. That really Yosef, when he met Paro, it wasn't just that he interpreted the dream. It was more than that. They had big discussions. Like the Ramban says, not all the discussions are recorded in the Torah. You see from the same Parsha of the case. It says when the brothers were on the road and they saw that the money was in their sacks, was returned to them. So they got scared. You see, Vayetzi Libam. They got scared. And then
One second.
Well, before that, Membeis Chavbeis. Well, I'm sorry. Before there, you looked at this axe. But when he took away Shimon, right? So it says that Yosef was begging them and they didn't listen. So Ramban says, doesn't say any words before that Yosef was begging them, just threw him in the boar. So Ramban says the Torah doesn't go through every little conversation that went on, only at a certain point. Over here was important because it had to do with them doing tshuva, so the Torah tells it that he was meschane. But before, it doesn't tell us, in the context of the story before, it wasn't necessary to mention a point. Right, that's true. So Ramban says, not every conversation the Torah records. The Torah records only certain conversations for a certain reason. Not every conversation is recorded. And I say that if you look through carefully through the Parashat Miketz, you'll see that something went on here between Yosef and Paro. That was more than just an interpretation of a dream. I say like this, I say that Yosef really told over Paro his whole philosophy, whole way of thinking, and changed Paro's philosophy. Now, I'll bring you proofs for it. Elokim doesn't really prove anything. Of course, Elokim is different. That's they have references to their gods. I'll bring you a raya, because when Yosef wanted to take all the brothers and tie them up, right? Put him in prison. Then he says, no, he says, I'm only going to take Shimon. Esolekim ani yare. He was supposed to be an Egyptian. Were they shocked that he said Esolekim ani yare? No, because God, fear of God, it's found in all societies. Not the same Elokim that we have in mind, but there is a psychological phenomena of Elokim. So that's what he means. My question is, what did Yosef tell Paro? That's what I want to know. What was the message? There's an underlying message here that Yosef told Paro something. I'd like to know what that is, and then substantiate it from the psukim. And I say it like this. So yes, you see, Paro's mentality was that he had two. His mind was split into two departments. He was a king, which meant that he ruled the country, which requires great intelligence. A person has to be rational. Don't forget, Egypt at that time was the greatest nation in the world, as a center of civilization. They weren't stupid people. They were intelligent people, just as had the same intelligence that we have today in terms of the human mind. Wasn't any less. And in order to rule a country like that, you have to use your mind. However, Egypt was also very superstitious. Now, when they constructed their homes on the Nile, and the sophisticated plumbing equipment that they used, and all these different techniques that they had, there they used their intelligence. See, but there was another. They didn't use superstition, but there was another department, a superstitious department, and in that department, they didn't use reason. There's no reason, so they lived. They related to reality in two ways. One was through thought processes, mind, and the other way was through superstition. Now, the Chatumim didn't run the country. Chatumim were the experts in the area of superstition. Paro had a problem, so he went to the Chatumim, and they told him exactly what it meant, and he went back and worked it out, how to apply it. But the running of the country was done by people who used their intelligence, who used their minds. Just like today, you have people who are realistic, might be very realistic in business, big businessmen, successful businessmen, but yet they can accept a ridiculous religion and once a week dedicate an hour to total insanity. You see? There's no contradiction. They do not use reason in that area. You see? Two separate departments of the mind. You have it today and you had it then. There's no difference. Okay. I say it's like this. What Yosef told Paro was a totally different thing. Yosef told Paro, he says, you're making a mistake. You see, you're making a mistake in your dualism, in the way you relate to reality. It's wrong. There really is only one thing. The one thing is chachma. That's the only way we should relate to reality. But when a person reaches a certain level of chachma, then God, who is the source of all chachma, relates to him. It's a natural phenomena. He gave him an explanation of how of the Ashgacha. You see? And I'll show you that Yosef HaTzadik told Paro that Yesod, which of course is the Rambam's opinion of Rambam's opinion, a philosophical opinion. I'll show you that he gave him one of the most important Yesodis in the Torah with regard to Nevuah. Where is it at? Where he said like this. Paro said, "Vayomar Paro al Yosef acharei hodia Elokim eschoas kol zos einavon v'chacham kamocha." Since it's pasuk lamates, that after God has told you all this, there is no navon and chacham like you. What do you mean? A person, a magician, has to be a navon and a chacham. Navon and chacham at times are used for intelligent, intellectual abilities, as is not mystical abilities. People are known to have very strong powers of ESP, even, has nothing to do with their intelligence. It's a separate area, separate dimension. The mystics don't claim to be very intelligent. I mean, a certain amount, they can't be idiotic, but it has nothing to do with chachma. So what did Paro mean? Acharei hodia lo kimoschos kol zos einavon chacham kamocha. He recognized that it's a mistake the way he relates to reality in two frameworks. And the only framework that a person should relate to reality is through chachma. I'll show you that when Yosef himself told Paro, in the very interpretation, there's something that Yosef said there, which none of the chatumim would say. What is that? Perek Mem Aleph Pasuk Lamed Gimel. After he gave him the, he told him, Kinochan Adover Me Eso Lakim. So what did he say? Va'ata yere faro ish navon l'chacham v'shisei ol eretz Mitzrayim. What does that have to do? What's that his business? You interpreted the dream. Go home. That's your job. What are you talking about? Ish navon l'chacham v'shisei ol eretz Mitzrayim? You see? None of the chatum would not tell Paro that now we need an ish navon l'chacham. They tell him a mystical thing. Probably just give him a little incantation that he has to do. And he's on his way. But to say now we have to use chachma over here. I'm not finished, he told them. This is the interpretation. But now we're going to be ruined unless we apply the greatest amount of chachma that we can summon in order to meet this challenge. And you better appoint the guy as a tremendous chacham. And the Ramban explains, why does it have to be a tremendous chacham? First of all, there was the preservation of the food, number one. Secondly, the question is, how do we ration out the food? I mean, like the Rav mentioned, this was the first system, rationing system in the world, Yosef instituted. Never was such a thing. Saved the whole world. Now, the question was, what are you going to do with other countries? Do we have enough for other countries? Do we surplus? Do we sell it? All these problems had to be worked out. And Yosef won power. Said, if you don't use Chachman out of here, you're going to be destroyed. See? What right did Yosef have to give that suggestion? Because Yosef showed Paro, he unified Paro. He said, you have to have only one philosophy. The only philosophy is Chachma. And the way you relate to reality is only through Chachma. There is Ashgacha, it's true, Ashgacha is a fact, there is Ashgacha. But once you know the Ashgacha, you don't go into any type of mystical rites. But what you do is, you function, you apply. You take the fact from the Ashgacha and you use rationality in order to bring about the desired result. That's Vata Yera Paro Ishnovim Lachachim, which you say, Allah, that's Ryan. See?
Why?
Just interpreting a dream. It's showing Paro a new way of life. See? And that's why Paro said, Achare Adil Lekim Aschos Kozos, Einovim Lachachim Kamacha. Ata Ti Al Basi Val Picha Yisha Kolami. Chatumim would never place in such a position to run the government. Chatumim have their job, mystics, not to run the government. But Yosef, in Yosef he saw, here is a whole, he says, Isha Sharucha Lakimbai? What did he mean? He meant this is a totally different thing. This is a man who combines both. Isha Sharucha Lakimbai. He has the relationship to the Ashgacha, you see, and he's also a Gavra, a person who is a realist, a man who has tremendous chachman dealing with reality. This is a totally different thing. This I never saw before. I've never seen before. I've seen chatumim, mystics, relate to reality in a totally mystical way. I've seen men who are realistic. But this combination, Isha Sharucha Lakimbai, this combination I've never seen before. That's what impressed Parai. And with this, another pasuk becomes very clear. Pasuk which says before, when he first appeared to Paro. So what does it say? It says that yes, chalom chalamti, pasuk as well. Mem al pasuk as well. Chalom chalamti yufoser einoso. Va'ani shamati alecha lema tishma chalom liftoraso. Va'yan, what did you say? Va'yan Yosef es Paro lemar. It's a very strange pasuk. Bilodai. What is this? Anivis? Elakim yan eshlom paro. What do you mean, bilodai? It's not me. But elakim yan eshlom paro. So what? What is that supposed to say? That I'm imim marashach. If it's not me, so how is God going to answer it? Oh, he's going to answer through me, so then I'm a great guy? God answers me? What is this, anivis? What is bilodai elakim yan eshlom paro? It's an unbelievable statement. If he's trying to say that he's nothing, so how can he be nothing if God's going to answer through you? He can't be nothing. So it's not below that. What is the thing? I mean, there's no place here. If it was just he's trying to show his modesty, so that's not a way to show your modesty. It's not me, God. I mean, what is he? Though? Yeah. It was through him.
Then where do you see God didn't talk to him?
And it would seem, it would. What does Rashi say? Biladai, ein ha-chokhma mishali, elo lekim yane, yitein aniyah b'fi l'sholom paro. What is Rashi saying? Ein ha-chokhma mishali, lekim yane, yitein aniyah b'fi l'sholom paro. What does it mean? Mamanashach. If it's... One second. Mamanashach. If it's not his pshat, so what's the chokhma? Why shouldn't say ein ha-chokhma mishali? He should have said, ain't right. You're a Mishali. Ella may Hashem. Hashem yitain a tshuva b'fi. No, ain't a chachma Mishali. What does it mean, ain't a chachma Mishali? If Shah is like this, really. See? You have to understand there's a totally different psychological framework between a chacham and between a mystic. A mystic feels that he has certain powers. So in mysticism is an attempt that man makes to control the external world. Of course he does it through infantile wish fulfillment. But infantile wish fulfillment, you see, is based upon a certain overestimation of the individual's abilities. That's what it is. A child feels if he wishes something to come true, it's going to come true. His wish is going to change reality. That's a very childish notion. But that notion is an overestimation of his own power, his own mental powers, you see. Now, the chatumim really, the mystics, are really just an exaggeration of that same type of phenomena. They're not children anymore, but it's basically a repetition of the same type of childish emotion. So they feel... The mystic feels that he has a certain power here. You see? Now, a chacham never feels that he has a power. Because a chacham is a person who recognizes, looks out at a reality. And the chachma really exists in that reality. He is subservient to a certain system of chachma. You understand? His position is as an individual who is trying to read and to perceive the chachma that exists externally. You see, it's not a power that he's endowed with. Do you understand what I mean? It's a subservience to a system, to an objective system of Chochmah that exists. But then we mentioned a Pirkei Avos. That means, why does a person make a mistake in Chochmah? Because the person is emotionally involved himself, that he is the he has this emotional security, he is the Pasek. See? The real Chacham is a person that knows that there is nothing inherent in his emotions that can really resolve reality. Reality can only be understood by a total subservience to an external system, you see, to an external system. And the Yuma Sunnah Baddin means that the person must recognize, what should his feelings be? If he has egoistic feelings, he's going to make a mistake. But his feelings should be that I am just subservient to a certain system of Chachmah that exists. And the only time he functions properly is when he's under the influence of nothing more than the subservience to that system. Because that's what a Chacham is, a man who's subservient to reality. See? If he's under the influence of another emotion, that he's a great person, you see, if that emotion is playing a role, insofar as he's under that emotion, he's not subservient to the system. And he's not subservient to the system, he's going to make a mistake. The real Chacham has to be free from any type of self-glorification. But he has to be a person who's completely, who recognizes that there's a tremendous system out there, and I have to try to use a certain mechanism that I'm endowed with in perceiving that system. And all my energies have to be geared to that. The moment he's presumptuous, that's when he makes a mistake, because he starts twisting what the reality is. See? That's what Yosef said when he said, Biladai, Elokim Yanes Shalom Parai, Eina Chochma Mishali. See? The Chochmah is not Mishili. What does it mean? It means that I don't perceive. I am not like one of your Chatumim. Chatumim couldn't say Biladai. No. I'm the one that interprets, because I have these powers. Since it's based upon the infantile notion that man can exert an influence on the an external world through his own through his own modes of thinking, you see, so it's not Biladai. They're the ones that can really change. They change reality. But Chachmah is diametrically opposed. It's just the opposite. That where he himself can really effectuate nothing. The only thing is that if he views the system objectively, see, if he contemplates the fantastic Chachmah that exists, he might be able to take out some of it. He might be able to grasp some of the Chachmah, you see, and perceive some of the Chachmah. That's the position of man. Biladai really, when he said Biladai, Elokim Yanesh Lom Paro, what Yosef did was he showed a totally different figure to Paro, a totally different image, a totally different ideal of a human being to Paro. You know what I mean?
He can't control, he can just work within the system.
And he showed him what how a Chacham works.
That's Ein
HaChacham Mishali.
It's God's system.
Exactly. In Perek Mem Pasuk Ches, Vayomro Elav Chalom Chalamnu Ufoser Ein Oso, Vayomro Elav Yosef, Halal Elokim Pisronim, Saprin Ali. What does that mean? Oh, Elokim Pisronim, what are you telling me? What is he? He's a god? Sounds like the highest ego. See? No. Halal Elokim Pisronim, Saprin Ali means that I am not the one. Pisronim come from understanding Chachmah, tremendous source of Chachmah. And now tell me, and I'll see if I could understand it, if I can perceive it. You know what I mean? That's the shot. So that's what I want to say, that really that's what happened over there. When Yosef came before Paro, he showed him a whole different philosophy, a whole different way of life. And that's why that was expressed on Nimtza Kozei, Isha Sheruach Lakimbo, was a totally different thing. Atati al-Basi. Now this is the man that has to be in control. The man who has both, he's unified both phenomena. This was ridiculous to go have this type of division. Lead a mystical life on the one hand and a rational life on the other hand. He showed that Yosef taught Paro a whole new way of life. He says, this is the man that has to be in charge of the country. That's why we're so impressed. He saw something which was qualitatively differentiated. That's why Paro really had a totally new confidence in Yosef. It was a different kind of a confidence. He never gave such confidence to any human being before. Because he was no fool. He knew there's limitations. There's the Khartoumim, yeah, this is nice. They're nice, the magicians, I mean, they're nice. They have something to say. I mean, they have their value, but their value is limited. Then you have the realistic people. They also, you need them. They're intelligent. They know how to run a government, how to construct dams, how to do work, you know what I mean? businessmen, important people, we need them also. But he never gave over his confidence to any one person and say, this man, whatever he says or do, that would be ridiculous. That would be absurd for a king. What king does such a thing like that? It's ridiculous. Everybody has their limitations. He's the one that listens to all the people, and then he himself decides based upon the knowledge that he has. After all, he's the Melech. You see? What kind of a thing is this that a person, a Melech, should be floored and should say that this man, he's it. I'm just a figurehead. He's retiring. Good proof from later. Where is it? Mem Aleph, Perek Mem Aleph Nun Hei. Vatirav Kol Eretz Mitzrayim Vayitzak Omel Paro Lalochem. It says, Vayomer Paro Lalochem Mitzrayim Luchu El Yosef Ashe Yomar Lachem Tasu. Okay? Ashe Yomar Lachem Tasu, because the implication Ashe Yomar Lachem Tasu is more than, he actually shouldn't have said that. He should have said Luchu El Yosef, and he'll give you, he'll straighten it out, it's worked out already. No, Asher Yomar Lachem Tasu means whatever he says do. Rashi says, Shohei Yosef Omolem Shiyimolu, Shaboa Yitzel Paro, Vomrim Kacho Omolonu, Omolohem, Lomolo Tzavartem Bov, Alohichris Lachem Shishnei Arov Boim, Omolo Asafnu Harbe Verkiva, Omolo, I can't call Shiyomar Lachem Tasu. Hare Godot Tzavartem, okay, fine. Alright, it's a medrash there. But the Asher Yomar Lachem Tasu shows you that he had total confidence in Yosef. He gave over everything to Yosef. The Medrash implies that there was an element of resistance there too, an undercurrent of resistance too. That's what the Medrash says. That he said, why did you, he said, his power said to them, he says, why did you wait? Why didn't you gather food, put store up food? So they said, we did, but it rotted. So he said, okay, then we have no choice. He says, Gozwal Atvua, and that's it. You're going to have to listen to him. You're going to have to listen to him. But the Medrash is trying to show that even though really Paro consciously had total confidence, Asher Yomar Lachem Tasu, he knew that the country can only be saved by this man, and he had total confidence in him, but underneath there was a certain amount of resistance. Why should a stranger be the one that's running my country? But he had no choice. He knew he was the man, you see? But there still was an undercurrent of resistance. That came out later, if you look at the Pesukim later. It came out in Vayechi, and how he wouldn't, he demoted him. He didn't have the same power he had after the time left. Yeah, because there was an undercurrent of resistance to him, Paro. So he was an undercurrent of resistance. But nevertheless, consciously, he had no choice but to give over to Yosef everything, carte blanche, the works. Where did that come from? Because he recognized here's a totally new approach. And this is the only real approach. Yosef instituted the Mila was because of the fact that Rashi over there was because of the fact that he recognized this resentment, and he recognized that he's in a dangerous position. Why? Because there's no identification between the Mitzrim and the Jews. There was no identification. It was something that was abominable to them. And he knew that the Mila was a big cause, and the breach of identification. That's why he made a gzera that they should all have Mila.
There's another one. See? He also moved all what?
Now, Paro really was upset. What the Medrash is saying is that Paro was upset about that the whole country should have to be subservient to him and should identify with a Jew. There was some resistance there, but he was helpless. That's what the Medrash really means. He says, "Asaf no haber v'kiva malhem imkain kol hashiyom lachem tasu harei gazer ala tvua v'kiva ma'im yigzer lein of anamas," which means to say that we have no choice. We have no choice. We just can't do without him, so we have to do it. We're coerced into such a situation where we have to identify with him. But there was a tremendous resistance against identifying with the Jew.
Yeah, weren't they breaking down like the 12?
But you see Yosef's deep psychological insight, and the fact that he knew that was the big factor that broke the identification. See, one psychologist said that. A great psychologist mentioned that. That was a very important factor. The thing over here is that it doesn't say anywheres that Yosef received this special communication from God to interpret the dream. It doesn't say it anywheres. So apparently it was his chachma. He used chachma to interpret the dream. You see? So what kind of a chachma is it? The answer is that this is the same chachma that a Navi uses when he gets a nevuah. He has to use it the way the Evan Ezra explains. He has to decode it. Well, that's chachma sa nevuah. A person has to be a chacham on a tremendous level to be able to do this. And Yosef was able to do it, but it was chacham. It was a chacham he was able to do.
The problems with the parasha of Korach is a lot of things are just simply not clear in the parasha, not revealed in the parasha. See, first of all, what did Korach want? It doesn't say what he wanted. It just says, V'yikol o Moshe al Aaron, V'yamer leim rav lachem, K'yikol eidah kulun kulun kadoshim, Sechem l'Hashem, Maduas tisnas al kal Hashem. What do you want from him? Doesn't say what he wanted. Right? What? What was Korach after? What did he want? The only way you know what he wanted is not from Korach himself. It's from Moshe Rabbeinu's retort. Because Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'davo Korach ha'bokav yed Hashem asa shalov, asa kodesh v'kriveilov. Zos asu, k'chu l'chem machtos. Korach v'chaladasa. Snu v'ayin eish. Avoda. Right? So, and also Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Vayakrev." He said, "Hamaat mikem ki yivdul olkei Yisrael eschem eadas Yisrael lahakrev eschem elov la'avoid es avoidas mishkan ad Hashem v'la'amod lefnei ha'idu l'shosam vayakrev oschov eskol achach v'nei levi yitach uvikashtem gam kahuna." So you see, so he wanted the kahuna, right? Okay.
So what's the problem?
So what? The thing is, it's still not so simple. Korach don't imagine Korach just came along and said, give me the kuna. I mean, what kind of thing would he mean, give me the kuna? Why him? I mean, it's why should he have the kuna? And how does that fit into his argument where he says, Kichol le'ed ha'kulam kadosh m'sachem Hashem, ma'aduz esnasa kal Hashem. So what? So now he wants to be misnasa kal Hashem. Well, what exactly did he want? Right? But at the history is interesting, the psychological history of Korach. Well, the Kashtem Gam Kahuna really was not what Korach had wanted. Moshe Rabbeinu said, was trying to tell him, is this what, yeah, he's telling him like unconsciously, here's what you want, right? That's what you're really after. Okay, we'll soon see. But apparently he wanted something because you see, he told him to go do the Avoda. Must be something there. All right. You have something else. It seems Rashi says that famous story that he put on the beggar that had tchelis in it, and he said to everybody, he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, "Hey," he says, "what would be the loch over here with regard to tzitzis on this beggar?" So Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, said, "Yeah, regular loch." And then the medrash says also, "Bias Molly's farm." Right, guys, asked for the Sefer Torah, so he has to put him on the door. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Yes." Korach said, it's absurd. What do you mean? The whole house is full of Sefer Torah. What kind of a mezuzah on the door? All right. That itself sounds very funny, because we know that there's a halachic system here. Right? Okay. How could Korach come along and deny Torah Sinai? And by Torah Sinai it says, V'gam yishmu'am b'dabri, l'man yishmu'am b'dabri imach, v'gam b'choyam minu l'olam. So whatever Moshe Rabbeinu says is the word of God is the Torah. We know it is because of the demonstration. God wouldn't let Moshe take it, wouldn't demonstrate that Moshe is the man if Moshe wasn't trustworthy. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew. He knew that the halacha, what the halacha was. There's two things always. There's the chayt itself, and then there's the sibas chayt. Of course, let's take a look at the history of the chayt over there. What does it say? It says like this. Maro Korach lachlek in Moshe. Niskane al nasi uso shelolitzafim ben uziel. Before we start into that, I mean, the first Rashi also, Vayikach Korach. Starts off very funny also, the Parsha. Vayikach Korach. What? Took what? Transitive verb. Where's the direct object? You know? Yeah. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, Lokach esatzmo. He took himself. What's the pshat in Rashi? What's the pshat in Rashi? Take a look. What does Rashi mean? What Rashi means is that the idea so obsessed him that he couldn't identify with anybody that had that idea. That didn't, in other words, didn't partake of his idea, had the contrary idea. See? That's what it means. So Vayikach Korach means, that's what Rashi says, Mayikachacha libecha, lokeichoscho laflikcha mishar b'nei adam. So it means like this, that when a person, ordinarily, what prevents a person from having a machlekes with other people? Because there's a certain identification he has with others. Right? Now, sometimes, however, an idea obsesses a person to the point where anybody that doesn't have that, that doesn't share that idea, you see, he can't identify with anymore. It becomes the essence. Becomes an essential thing. That's when a person moves out to create a split. That's what Karach did. The Ispaleg. That's what Rashi says. The Ispaleg Karach. Vayikach Karach means... That's right. That's what our uncle says. That Ispaleg Karach means... Vayikach means... Who did he take? That's what Rashi says. Who did he take? He took himself. It means that the idea so captivated him that it differentiated him from everybody else. So the taking was, and he was himself the direct object of the taking. See? Psychologically, how do you have a battle, a fight between how do you have a split that an idea. The idea becomes so essential that you can't identify with the people who don't share that idea. Once you can't identify with them, then you go out against them. That's what happened with Karach. It means to say, really, Vayikach Karach means it was an obsession. That's the pshat. An idealistic issue has always a better chance of being successful. Because since it's idealistic, it becomes something which people associate with the correct way to live, and this becomes something which is essential. It becomes essential. Others that don't think this way, we can't identify with them. And that's what causes us good. Then Yitzhar, but the second pshat is difficult, because like we said, according to the second pshat, I mean, what does it help with the situation? It should have said, Vayikach Karach, it should have said, the question is, who is he taking? So what are you answering in Rosh Hashanah Draws? So it should say Rosh Hashanah Draws in the Pasuk. At any rate, Ben Yitzhar Ben Kos Ben Levi says, Hello Hiskir Ben Yaakov, Shebikesh Racham Al Atzmosh Le Yizochah Shmo Machlokosam, Shenemar Bekolam Al Teichad Kivodi. Right? Vehechan Nizkir Shmo Shal Yaakov Al Karach Bes Yachzam Al Duchem B'Dever Yom, Shenemar Ben Evi Yosef Ben Karach Ben Yitzhar Ben Kos Ben Levi Yisrael. So he brings a right from there that you see that it really should have been, because who says, and you could say maybe it doesn't go back that far. They don't want to go back that far. You see the Yom, you do go back all the way. So how come over here it stops before Yaakov? Because he said, "Bekolam al teichad kavodi." All right. What does Rashi mean? Shle yizochah shma machlekasam. What is the pshat? Pshat like this: that a person has a trait. So it's usually the trait stems from one of two sources: either his heredity or his environment. Or a very subtle combination. Now, in either event, the parent has played some role in bringing about this character trait. So he plays some role, has to play some role in it, right? When Yaakov Avinu said, "Bekolam al teichad kavodi," he meant that this trait that they have is not mine, not mine in any way. That's their own rishus. See, that's why he said they shouldn't mention his name.
But his
ladies?
Yeah.
Yeah. Levi was one that initiated. Levi Shimon v'Levi Achim. Tolei Chamas Mecher Asim. Odom al tavo nafshi, bekolam al teichad kavodi. What he made that statement was that he didn't say about the other things, that he doesn't have any part in it. Why did he say that he doesn't have any part in it? He meant that this trait, I have no part whatsoever in creating this character trait.
Oh, yeah. So
that was their own Bechira that did it.
So according to this,
okay.
So
like, because if, yeah, why? Because he wasn't responsible. So it's mispalad, it should not reflect, because if you put my name down, he said, then it reflects that it has something to do with me. It has nothing to do with me. Right, so according to that pshat, it would seem that part of the, one of the character traits involved in this machlekes was from Levi. Sorry. That the anger must have played a role. It doesn't necessarily mean that was the underlying cause, but it played a role over here in the in supporting the machlekes.
What
context in the writing of the Yom? It says, next Rashi, Mara Karach Lachloik in Moshe. What did Korach see that really got him angry at Moshe? Rashi says, Neskane al nasi uso shel alitzafim ben azil. Sheminuhu Moshe nasi al b'nei kahos al pi adibor. Oma, he got angry at alitzafim ben azil. He said like this. He made a cheshman. Korach, Oma Korach. Korach said like this. Achei abo, abo hayu. Shenema. There were four brothers, right? Uvnei kahos. Amram the Yitzar v'chevron v'zil, is that right? I think so, yeah. Okay, Amram abchor natlu shnei bonov gedula. Echad melech v'echad kain gadol. Not bad. Miroi lito lesashnia. Who should take the next thing? Lo ani shani ben Yitzar shu sheni l'amram. V'hu mona nasi es ben ochiv hakotn mikulam. Hareini chalak alav mavatlas devarav. Right, that's the motivation. Ma'asa oma the konas reishnun rashi sanedros. Ruban mishevet Ruven shchinav v'hem alitzu ben shdei v'chaverav v'kietzuba shnei manasi yeda kriyat moed lalno oma ele kriyat yeda v'lbishon talisos shekulon tcheles bo amnu l'shnei mifnei Moshe amru l'talas shekulon tcheles chayeves b'tzitzo p'tura amnu chayeves eschilu l'sachek alav. If she tells shall min echot chut echot shall tchelas potro zu shekul tchelas lo tiftor satzmo. Okay, that's Russia. We have to understand the motivation, and we have to understand the final attack, and we have to understand how it fits into the psukim there. Okay. Explains a little bit. Umadu tisnasu akal Hashem. Ki rav lachem habiyos mitad kachnon. Kulam kadoshim, kulam shamu dvar mis besinai mi piagvura. Madu tis nasu and lakachta lacha malchus, lohi lacha levar leachicha kahuna. Lo atan levatchem shamatan besinai nechad shamu lakacha. Kol eda shamu. Okay. Motivation is an interesting thing. Seems Korach. Let's go back to the first part of Rashi.
It's not waiting
for his time. Dude, the fact that he's the son of the next brother, the second brother in line.
Yeah. He sees it, it goes in order.
She's good. What kind of stuff is that? See, the thing is like this. It's an interesting, there was an interesting transformation that happened here to Korach. Because really, you see, that actually when you first start off, you see, Korach was really an aristocrat. Why? Because you see, he was very satisfied that Moshe and Aaron had this tremendous honor.
Yeah.
As long as he was next in line. See? So he was basically, he believed in an aristocratic system. Right? Now, the only thing was that it didn't work out precisely the way he wanted. See? What disturbed him about it? The thing is like this. That he had a feeling of inherent superiority. There's certain people like that. That they feel that there's such a thing, they can only live with a feeling of inherent superiority. They feel that they're inherently different than everybody else. See, they cannot live under a system of schar v'onesh, see, where it's based upon individual performance. They can't live that way. Because they have to feel constantly that they have some type of status. Now, a person who lives according to a system of merit cannot inherently feel that he has some type of status, because his status is constantly dependent upon his performance. So he can't have this feeling of an inherent superiority. Now, you see, Korach really had that feeling that he came from a special family. As he said, Achei Abba Arba Avi, right? There were four brothers. So really, as a matter of fact, when Moshe and Aaron took the kahuna and the Malchus, he didn't say anything, complain a word. Why? Because on the contrary, that all showed, supported his idea that he really comes from a superior family. What shook him up was the Nesius of Elitzafan ben Azil. They skipped over him. They skipped over him. So now it's not the family anymore. So now it's going by merit. So the whole system, the whole system really fell apart. When Elitzofim ben Uzziel became appointed, now his whole philosophy of life was shattered. So his whole idea of himself, his whole self-concept was shattered. Why? Because now he sees it works by a system of merit. Then if that's the case, if it goes by merit, so then his whole family superiority is nothing. It's butlam of little. See? It's nothing. Now it's an interesting thing. What did he do, actually? So what did he do? You see, he went to the other extreme. He saw that he's not an aristocrat. So what did he do? He became exactly the opposite. He became a Democrat. See? He became a Democrat. Because what he said was, Kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim v'sochem ad Hashem v'madu atis nasu al-kal ad Hashem. See? Once he couldn't partake of this superiority, he decided that nobody will. Democracy for all. Kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim. Now, it's an interesting thing. So what did he do, really? What did he do? He was against, the Torah says openly, he was against the institution of Kohanim. What was his argument? His argument really was like this. His argument was, how could it be that God should take one group and should set them aside and say that they are superior? They're Kohanim. I mean, this is not fair. There's a whole Klal Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael heard the Pi Advur of the Sinai. How is it possible that God should set aside one group and make them Kohanim? Just doesn't make any sense. That was his argument. His argument was a democratic argument. See? That was the argument. There's no fairness over here. So Korach convinced people that really God never said this. It's an impossibility. So if that's the case, who did say it? Moshe Rabbeinu said it. What does Rashi mean with this whole business with the Tchelis? With the Tchelis, see? There was only one problem. Because if he's going to maintain that thesis that Moshe Rabbeinu really made it up, so it comes out that, you can't do that so quickly. Why? Because here Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about Torah. He's talking about Halacha. Wasn't he really appointed as the one that's supposed to tell us what the Halacha is? As a matter of Halacha, how are you going to argue with him? Right? So there was only one way for him to get out of that. He had to break down the halachic system of Moshe. And he had to say that really, if that's the case though, so you have a problem though, because it says, like we said before, L'man yishmu ha'am b'dabri imach v'gam b'choyamina l'olam. You see? So what he did was, he denied the whole system of halacha. He said, the truth of the matter is that God doesn't care about the particulars of the halacha. See? That's why he went over there, he put on the talis, and he asked Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the, they all put on talisim, what's the halacha, and they started to laugh. Why did they start to laugh? Halachically, it makes a lot of sense. There's a rigid halachic system here. On the contrary, halachic consistency demands that you have to sit on the beggar that has tchelis, right? But the answer is he maintained that God really only cares about the philosophy of the mitzvah. That's all God cares about, not the specific halachic system. This was all Moshe Rabbeinu's idea. But God only cares that the mitzvah should be done in order to create a situation where you have general halachic general philosophic perfection. Slap. General philosophic perfection. That was his idea. You see. So so if that's the case. So then this detail that Moshe Rabbeinu is making up with the kahuna and this whole business, this also is part of his... how come God trusted Moshe? Yeah, he trusted him for the major ideas. Sure, he trusted him for the major ideas. And now we have the major ideas, we have to take it from there. But all this thing, the way Moshe Rabbeinu is interpreting the details, this is all his own idea. This is all his own. That's the pshat really we all heard by Sinai. What does it mean we all heard by Sinai? It means God wanted to perfect us all through general philosophical principles. And we all have it, and that's all God's concerned with. Now God doesn't, that's it. Further beyond that, he doesn't care. These particulars he's not concerned with. He's only concerned with the general philosophical notions. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is carrying on beyond what he was supposed to do. Of course, God wouldn't appoint somebody that's going to be a liar. Yeah, but everything's open to interpretation. I mean, we were also there. Kol Eidu Kulam Kedoshim. Everything's open to interpretation. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's particular interpretation of the events. We think that it's not necessarily the correct interpretation. As a matter of fact, it seems silly in certain instances. See? So he maintained there was a Sinai, sure. But God has only gave the basics. Now, this is the rest of Moshe Rabbeinu's view. Who says that view is right? So therefore, he says, so really, what did he do? He became a total Democrat. He says, everybody, God wants everybody to interpret the Torah is logically, sensibly, and God doesn't care about the particulars. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to interpret it his way, fine. It's not gonna, God wouldn't destroy him because it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. So what if he has Allah? It doesn't matter, but the general ideas he has. That's enough. But those general ideas are the essence, you see? So really what he did was, he wanted to destroy two institutions. One was the institution of Moshe, see, as being the one that Moshe Rabbeinu was being the authority on this whole technical system of halacha. So it was really halacha was really at stake here, the whole technical system of halacha. That was one institution he wanted to destroy. That was Malchus, because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Melech, but Moshe Rabbeinu's Malchus wasn't like a regular Melech. His Malchus stemmed from the fact that he was the rabbi. He was Rabbi Shlomo Yisrael. So there's a different source to his Malchus than a regular Melech, and that was the Malchus. And he was the Melech because he was the authority in with regard to the halachic system, and the nation was living under the whole character of the nation was the acceptance of the halachic system. Since Moshe Rabbeinu was a Yosher Reish, he was the head, so therefore he was considered the Melech. That's why he had the name of Melech. So that's what he meant by Malchus. So he said this whole idea of Moshe Rabbeinu being a Melech, that's out. Because everybody can, we have already, we received already from Sinai what the basic philosophical ideas are. Now we have to perfect ourselves and interpret it. God wants us to interpret it our way. So his interpretation is not necessarily correct. The second institution was that he wanted to abolish was Kona. Because he held that that it's impossible, like we said, it's impossible that God should maintain inherent superiority for one group. So therefore, what was his alternative? The alternative was, the Ramban says, the others say, that the Bechorim should be the ones that are do the Avoda. Bechorim. No. What? Instead of Bechor, because a Bechor is not a specified group. It means the firstborn in every family. Every family, only one. You have to have one designated. So you say the firstborn in every family. And so there has to be some way, but not a group which is inherently designated. That was his argument. That was what Karach's argument was. He held as long as you're in line philosophically with the principle, that's enough. Yeah, sure. We'll have a certain hedging, get together certain times. Certain things you have to decide. Of course, a lot of shallows. But the system is a different kind of system. The system is a different kind of system. He had to do that because otherwise, if God trusted Moshe with every, if there's a detailed system, if the system of halacha is mena shemayim, is a detailed system, then kahuna goes with it. Moshe said kahuna. Yeah. God can't entrust a man, God can't create a system which has specifics and entrust a man as a liar. That's impossible because kahuna is a detail. So therefore, he had to say that the whole halachic system is really something that Moshe Rabbeinu contrived. And all God's interested is in the philosophical. The whole halacha was at stake in the argument. In Karach's uprising, the whole halacha was at stake.
He might have thought there was a halachic system.
His system was a philosophical system. It wasn't a strict, rigid halachic system.
Really?
The only ones that have such a system is the strict, rigid halachic system. There's no other because really Karach, in a sense, did what was halacha to us. Allah Das is, on first sight, man wouldn't think of such a thing. Ordinarily, a rigid halachic system, that's perfection. See? So that's why he maintained that that's philosophical.
What about
that? He thing. From this you see that a person can become democratic egocentric emotions. Because originally it really stemmed from egocentricity. But the egocentricity he couldn't tolerate. He couldn't tolerate a differentiation based on merit which excluded him. Right. So therefore the only alternative he had was total democracy. It's a very common psychological thing. That a lot of people are, if I can't have it, nobody will have it. That's true. That was the switch to democracy. Right? From Torah Shabbat Peh. No. But the Torah Shabbat Peh, only in a philosophical way. In a philosophical way. Like there might be certain cases. There might be certain cases that God decided that it should be this way, it should be that way. Only when it's in line with the philosophical. Certain decisions. Because in his system, you need decision making also in his system. So God gave Torah Shabbat Peh, he made certain decisions.
You're saying how God gave
Moshe. Right. That's right. That's what Avi said before. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu said "Ubikashtem gam kahuna." Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to hit him on the underlying emotion that caused the whole uprising. See, that's what he's trying to do. He tried to say, "You're not really a Democrat. You're really a very haughty person." But since you can't get that, now you want to say that nobody should have it. What you mean is that with regard to halacha. He didn't like the halachic system because in the halachic system there's no room for any elements of the personality to be projected on the same. Whereas in the philosophical system, there's elements of your own personality can be projected into the system. You can go by the way you feel, more or less, you know, there's more of the self. Sure. First philosophy, Moshe and I were imposters, who are just self-seeking individuals to set up these systems in order to control the masses, control the people. Vayom Moshe bezos tegun ki ad Hashem shlachani lasos es kol ha-maisim ha-eila ki lo milibi. Rashi says, lasos kol ha-maisim ha-eila she asisi al pi ha-dibur lo seis la'alan kahuna gedola u'bonav skanei kahuna v'litzofa nasi nisi ha-kasi. See? That's what it means. It meant the pshat is that's how he demonstrated through this that everything he did was really al pi Hashem, and the halachic system was al pi Hashem, wasn't his own invention.
But
Moshe Rabbeinu invented the whole system himself just to be an authority, to have power. That God would not permit such an event to occur, that here the whole system was at stake. It was a question of the whole system. Is it a philosophical system or a halachic system? So God would not permit an occurrence like that to take place if it wasn't true that the halachic system is the essence, is essential. Because it would be a total misleading of the people. In other words, Korach's argument was that God doesn't really care. He gave it, now you're supposed to use your own mind. It's a good argument. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, yeah, but then he would not permit a miraculous event to occur specifically to these people, which would demonstrate that the system of halacha is the right way to follow. If you're right, then it's the wrong way to follow. So then we should live according to a philosophical system. So how could God possibly mislead us through this event? And therefore the occurrence of the event proved conclusively that the halachic system is is from God. Itself, a mofes like that would not suffice. Because who says the mofes means it? It doesn't mean anything. You don't know how it occurred.
You have no premise.
You have no premise that there is a relationship, a direct, that God is concerned about how we live here. The only way to demonstrate, to establish that God is concerned about how we humans live is only through Sinai. You have Sinai already. Once you have Sinai that God is concerned, you have a demonstration of God is concerned, Then the event of Korach is a demonstrative proof. You see? Okay. That even though it was a logical possibility, so what was their chait? The answer is that nobody in their right mind would accept such a possibility. Yeah, it's a very remote possibility. Nobody would, if a person was using this Seichel HaYashir, would never come to that conclusion. That Moshe and Aaron are imposters, and that God is permitting a total fraud to be perpetrated on Klal Yisrael, you see? And even though his argument was, yeah, I mean, God isn't concerned that much. But the logically, a person would never come to that conclusion. The only way that you come to that conclusion would have been that the whole system of Torah Shabbat Peh was an invention of Moshe. The only way you can come to that conclusion is if you have if you're motivated by these emotions. That's why Rashi mentions the that it was the emotions. The emotions were made the idea palpable. Without the emotions, nobody would accept such an idea.